This is Mae Brussel, and this is the second half of World Watchers, program number 789. And now I'm going into the National Security Council relationship of the NSC to Reverend Martin Luther King, to blacks, and also to third world countries and persons living in what the National Security calls the third world. A friend of mine went to Europe 16 years ago. He left in the fall, and he was going to spend several weeks there. This was in 1970. He decided to spend the winter there, and it was going to be very cold where he was. So he had stored some trunks and suitcases in my garage, and he asked me to open the clothing to get these and mail them to him. And in the bottom of the trunk was a document, two-page document, titled The King Alfred Plan. I described it, part of it, on the air in 1978. That was 8 years ago. And I have updated it and referred to it at various times, but not in detail. But it's pertinent now because the NSC is finally more visible. And in context of Irangate and Contragate, it's pertinent to also to the third world policies. Watch how they treat Iran and Iraq and other countries and Central America and so forth. So I want to bring it up to date and share it with you at this time. This friend of mine is a black man. He worked for a major corporation in this country. After 15 or 16 years of working with them, they wanted him to do some kind of informing or spying in a country in Africa. He refused, and after that, he was under a lot of surveillance. He worked for CBS in the news department, and when Jackson State killings came about just shortly before the Kent State and black students were murdered by the police, there were orders not to carry it on the wire services. At that point, he threw away all his, sold all of his possessions, didn't throw them, the car and the camera and golf sticks and everything that he had, and decided he was going to take a trip and find out what was really going on in the world. And in the bottom of his trunk, when I was asked to send the winter clothing, the mittens, hats, and heavy sweaters, was this two-page document, as I say, titled The King Alfred Plan. Now, that King Alfred Plan didn't surface publicly and still didn't get much notice until Mr. Williams, John Williams, wrote a book called The Man Who Cried I Am. And you can go to the library and get that book. Otherwise, I don't want to start doing this again, but if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope for me, I will copy the King Alfred Plan for you, and you can see it. It is a third copy. It's not a good one of the original that I have here in my home somewhere among a lot of material going back to 1970, what was in this friend's trunk. And I'll send you a copy if you want it. Now, the review of the book, The Man Who Cried I Am, told a great deal about the book. I didn't save too many of the reviews, but the book came out in 1967, and I don't know where John Williams got the document. He claims that I didn't see it until 1971, and it wasn't photocopied from the book. The book is smaller, and mine is the full 8.5 by 11 paper that it came on. But in this book, the hardbound, it's cut up on 5 or 6 pages, not 2 pages. It's totally different. And in one interview, John Williams said that he had to put this in the form of a novel, or it never would have gotten published. And that was in 1967. It first came out. The book, one book review was very pertinent that I copied. This came out in 1968, Black Against White, because it tells pretty much about what the book is about and the King Alfred Plan that's in the book. The person who wrote the review said, Hitler had a final solution for the Jews. 6 million of them were murdered before the madman's race was done. America's final solution for black man is the premise about which this fantastically well-done book is built. Max Reddick is a protagonist, allegedly dying of cancer in Holland. He is sitting on a secret so big that governments eagerly murdered to keep it from getting out. Secret so bad that writing a novel would be the only way of ever hoping to get the message out. And the worst thing of all is the fact that however horrible the ideas advanced, you look at the men who've been running the world for the last quarter century, and you find the book not a novel but a statement of cold hard fact, eminently plausible, and much more likely than true, much more than likely true. The plot of The Final Solution is a horrible one, dreamed up and nurtured by men in Washington, eagerly followed by power holders in Europe so that the centuries-long fiesta of exploiting people, grinding them down, humanity for profit, can keep on going in a business-as-usual world. Naive readers will say that the acts depicted in this book are acts which no American would be capable of doing. Baby, look, we lie, we cheat, we murder, we overthrow governments, not to our liking. With this kind of action going for us abroad, what the hell are a million spades or two at home? A murderer is one who murders. A murderer does not kill innocent people in some other land and then undergo a miraculous transformation when he comes home to apple pie and mother. There are murderers in high seats of government. They are bland, napalm-making baby killers sitting around the council tables of the largest corporations, and these are the worst killers of all. They kill not in anger, not for revenge. Their murders are wholesale, coldly planned, carried out for profit. They will kill anyone or anything that gets in the way. That is the message of John Williams, The Man Who Cried I Am. Two irreconcilable enemies are opposed in this book, the blacks and the whites, each one dancing a tune of hate and prejudice played by an unseen orchestra far above those in continued ease and profit who depend on keeping hate and prejudice alive. That each side is the unwitting patsy for the unseen string pullers is one of the largest tragedies of our time, again like the Iran-Iraq. Malcolm X was one of those who knew this. That's why he was murdered. Malcolm X is murdered also in the novel. An Uncle Tom agent for the CIA or FBI, there are plenty of the black ones. They smell the same. He is killed by his white cohorts when he flashes that the final solution is for all blacks, including himself, including those who played Mr. Charlie's game, hoping for crumbs. The American Indian could have told them how far this gambit served. And the conclusion of the review of the book, because this is in essence what it was about, it says it is horribly believable because from what we've seen of the men in Washington and what they've done so far, a final solution such as that proposed in this book is something that very well could be. And this is the note of warning of which the book leaves. One, however horrible the act, however inhuman the men who run the United States, they are capable of it. This is the legacy and the American dream, and Hitler might be laughing wherever he may be. Now, that's just one review, December the 5th, 1968, of this book. Now, I'll do more on Mr. Novelist John Williams later, if you want, and if I have time. Not if you want, but if I have time. But this is the gist of the King Alfred Plan, and I have one of the pristine copies that was set aside that I found in the trunk of my friend. King Alfred, they have a star after it, and they have the year 1849 to 1899, King of England, directed translation from the Latin of the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, and I don't know what they mean by that. And this is the plan. In the event of widespread and continuing and coordinated racial disturbances in the United States, King Alfred, at the discretion of the president, is to be put into action immediately. And this plan was also made to round up Martin Luther King, as I said, in 1962. So it's believable these plans were drawn up, and it's believable that they're ready for action. Participating federal agencies, National Security Council, CIA, FBI, Department of Justice, Department of Defense, Department of Interior. Participating state agencies, National Guard, State Police. Participating local agencies, City Police, County Police. Memo from the National Security Council, and underneath it's written by the chairman of the National Security Council. Now, I saw a copy in 1971, but the one 1968 would have, 67, would be a time period even before Robert Kennedy and Martin Luther King were killed, because John Williams was writing about it at that time. It says memo from the NSC. Even before 1954, when the Supreme Court declared unconstitutional separate education and recreational facilities unconstitutional, racial unrest and discord had become nearly a part of the American way of life. But that way of life was repugnant to most Americans. Since 1954, however, unrest and discord have broken out in widespread violence, which increasingly placed the peace and stability of the nation in jeopardy. Violence costs billions of dollars a year. This violence raised tremendously the grave question as to whether races could ever live in peace with each other. Every month there is new intelligence about new disputes and new laws about the condition of the minority. The minority is still not satisfied. There are demonstrations and riots. Troops are called into the cities. The enemies press closer. The minority are getting a military posture. It is undeniable that a race war is inevitable. And when that emergency comes, we have to expect total involvement of 22 million minority. Therefore, this project is launched, and its goal is to terminate once and for all minority threat to the whole of the American society and indeed to the free world. Signed, it's titled, not a man's signature there, National Security Council. Then the memo from the Department of Interior. King Alfred has divided the nation, the plan, into 10 regions. In case of emergency, minority members will be evacuated from cities by federalized National Guard units, local state police, and units of the regular armed forces. Now, the problem with training the National Guard down in Honduras and Nicaragua, Guatemala, and Costa Rica could easily be that they want the National Guard trained for exactly this thing. If there were riots to continue in this country or riots at all, the plans are to use the National Guard, and they have their military training, and persons are to be rounded up in military installations. The region of the United States would, this is Department of Interior, and I had this map on the broadcast 8 years ago. There are 10 regions in which to round people up. There are 12 major minority organizations, all familiar to the 22 million persons. Dossiers have been compiled on the leaders of the organizations. They would be studied in Washington. The material contains many of the dossiers, and our threat to reveal this material has been considerably held in check because the activities of some of the leaders, they're afraid that they will get wind of what is happening, so they can't reveal this material, but they are well aware of these particular leaders. Leaders who do not have a usable material in their dossiers, that they have no evidence on them, have been approached to take government posts, mostly as ambassadors and primarily in African countries. I think of Andrew Young, who was with the United Nations and our current ambassador to South Africa, a black man sent down there. The promise of positions has materially contributed to a temporary slowdown of minority activity by giving highly visible appointments of blacks. We do not expect these slowdowns to be of long duration because there are always new dissident elements joining the organizations with the power to replace the old leaders. All organizations and leaders are under constant 24-hour surveillance, and I'll list the organizations. In the areas that are to be rounded up in the United States, the Capital Region near Washington, the Northeast, the Southeast, the Great Lakes Region, the South Central, the Deep South, the Great Plains, and the Coast Region, Southwest, and ABC, the three areas along the coast. The black organizations that are kept and controlled, and this came out in 1967 in Mr. Williams' book, many of these don't exist at all, the black Muslims, and to encourage riots and problems, they're allowing more and more Gaddafi to fund and give money to Mr. Farrakhan that can increase this race war and get it going a little sooner. The other is the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, SNCC, which really doesn't exist, the Congress of Racial Equality, which hardly exists anymore, that Martin Luther King helped found, the Uhuru Movement, we don't hear a thing about it, the Group on Advanced Leadership, GOAL, Freedom Now Party, FNP, United Black Nationalist Party, the New Pan-African Movement. Most of these are gone. The Southern Christian Leadership Conference, the Martin Luther King Group, is still listed. The National Urban League that was in the news today, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People that are still around, and the Committee on Racial and Religious Progress. At the appropriate time to be designated by the president, when leaders of these organizations are to be detained only when it is clear that they can't prevent the emergency, they will work with local officials during the first critical hours. We'll use the leaders of the organizations who are pacifying people by having black visible leaders right now. We will use them until they cooperate or work with the persons doing the rioting and so forth. During the critical hours, we'll use them. All leaders or other leaders are to be detained at once, except the ones we've designated. Compiled lists of minority leaders have been readied at the National Data Computer Center. It is necessary to use the minority leaders designated by the president in much the same manner we use minority members who are agents with central I guess Central Intelligence and Federal, which is FBI, and we cannot, until there is no alternative, reveal King Alfred in all its aspects. Minority members of Congress will be unseated at once. This move is not without precedent in American history, and this is signed, not signed, there's no name, but under this base, it's put together by the Attorney General. Then from the Department of Defense, this memo is being submitted in lieu of a full report from the Joint Chief of Staff. That report is now in preparation. There will be many cities where minority will be able to put into the street a superior number of people with a desperate and dangerous will. He will be a formidable enemy, for he is bound to the continent by heritage and knows that political asylum will not be available to him in other countries. The greatest concentration of minority is the Deep South, the Eastern Seaboard, the Great Lakes region, and the West Coast. While the national problem exceeds that of the minority by more than 10 times, we must realistically take into account the following. 1. An estimated 40-50% of the white population will not, for various reasons, engage the minority during the emergency. They won't attack or help round up. 2. American armed forces are spread around the world. A breakout of war abroad means fewer troops at home to handle the emergency. 3. Local law enforcement officials must contain the emergency until the help arrives. The local must work until the troops arrive, though it may mean fighting a superior force. New York City has 25,000 police force. There are 1 million minority members in the city. We are confident that the minority can hold any city it took for only a few hours before the Pentagon comes in. And this is where the neutron bomb and John Singlaub and William Casey and Alexander Hager are important, and Israel and Cameroon testing the neutron bomb, because this would neutralize all the people in the city and it would take less than a few hours to take care of them. But this Defense Department memo was part of the King Alfred plan, said we are confident that the minority could hold any city it took for only a few hours. The lack of weapons and facilities and logistics all put the minority at a final disadvantage. Since the Korean War, this department, the defense, has shifted minority members of the armed forces area to where combat is most likely to occur, with the aim of eliminating through combat as many combat-trained minority servicemen as possible. Today, the ratio of minority members, member combat deaths in Vietnam, where they are serving as advisors, is twice as high as minority population ratio to the rest of America. Below is the timetable for the King Alfred, as tentatively suggested by the Joint Chief of Staff, to recommend that the operation be made over a period of 8 hours. 1. Local police and minority leaders in action to head off the emergency. The local police and the minority leaders are in action. 2. Using the black leaders who are not part of the striking and so forth, using those leaders. 2. Count down to 8 hours at the moment the president determines the emergency to be. 1A, under that, a national emergency. B, a coordinated emergency. C, or of long duration. 8 hour. This is 10-9. Now we're at the 8th hour. County police join the local police at the 7th hour. State police join the county and local forces at the 6th hour. This is the time plan for solving the black problem in this country. 5. Federal marshals join the state and county and local forces in the 5th hour. 6, National Guards, federalized, held in readiness in the 4th hour. Regular armed forces are alerted and take up their positions. Minority troops divided and detained, along with all white sympathizers who stick up for them, just identical to Nazi Germany, if people tried to help the Jews, and they're under guard in the 3rd hour. All minority leaders, national and local, are detained in the 2nd hour, all of them, because now the minority are going to be put in the same classification. After defending the system, they will go be allowed to be rounded up like the others. 9. The president addresses the minority on radio and television, and it gives it 1 hour to end the emergency. That's the first one. First down to the last minute, and then 10 all units under regional commands into the emergency. Everyone can get in, the Army and so forth, within 8 hours. Sending in the troops, I guess, the bayonets. We just have new bayonets, the Hitler helmets from Grenada, and the well-trained troops, and give your soldier a fortune, your mercenaries, and so forth. Now, the Secretary of Defense has a memo here called, and this is the worst part, it's called the O Committee Report. Survey shows that during a six-year period, production created 9 million objects. Those are black people. Or 1,500,000 each year. Production could not dispose of the containers. You can't get rid of the people making the babies, which proved a bottleneck. However, that was almost 20 years ago. And 1967 is when John Williams published this, so he must have had it in 1966. And in 20 years ago was 1946 when IG Farben had closed shop in Germany with their gases for extermination. That was almost 20 years ago. Okay, we suggest that vaporization techniques be employed to overcome the production problems inherent in King Alfred. And then below it, it says Secretary of Defense. And that is the King Alfred plan, exactly as I saw it in late 1970 or early 71. This is something that I have in my collection of articles and files. I put it away so carefully that through the years it has, the pristine original copy is somewhere where I don't even remember. I'll have to go through the files and find where I put it. But I made copies of it, a lot of copies, to put under a file on genocide, a copy under black deaths, and so forth. And it tells you about the plans with the black leaders. So that is something that I have had for a long time. I've had on the air, I've referred to it, I've talked to black people about it, and I've done radio shows, but there's no response. I guess there's this deniability that such a thing could happen. Now, I have a list of books that are available on the death of Martin Luther King, and if you want to know where to get them, you can send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll give you the address of somebody who collects these books. And they are available to you. And a lot of them are paperbacks. They're $195, $295, $395. They're very inexpensive. Some of the books on the murder of Martin Luther King are, one was published in 1972, An American Death, The True Story of the Assassination of King, written by Mr. Frank. In 1980, A Case of Conspiracy, James Earl Ray and the Assassination of King. And Mr. Newton is a paperback. 1977, A Code Named Zorro, The Murder of Martin Luther King, is Mark Lane and Dick Gregory. 1981, The FBI and Martin Luther King Jr., From Solo to Memphis. And the Solo was a code name for wiretapping him that I referred to earlier in the broadcast. There's Frame Up, The Martin Luther King James Earl Ray Case by Harold Weisberg. Free at Last, A Bibliography of Martin Luther King by Mr. Fisher. He Slew the Dreamer, My Search for the Truth About the Murder of King. This is Edgar Bradford Ewing. King Assassination Conspiracy Revealed by David Wemple. The Strange Case of James Earl Ray by Mr. Blair, published by Bantam. And To Kill a Black Man by Louis Lomax. Now, Louis Lomax was on the way to go to the Trade Mart in New Orleans, where Lee Harvey Oswald had handed out handbills in front of there while he was working for Navy Intelligence, and Clay Shaw was the manager of the Trade Mart, and Lomax was killed in a car accident on the way to Louisiana, to New Orleans, and to get information on who killed Martin Luther King. Of course, we have no way of knowing accidents and car accidents and so forth, people who were doing the investigating into these things who have been killed. So on the anniversary of Martin Luther King, I want to emphasize, again, the importance of studying who killed them and what are the goals of the National Security Council. And maybe the King Alfred plan should come up, not just in terms of Contragate, but what are the intentions of the not only this administration, but the administrations of the past? Is there indeed a genocidal policy? Because when the Vice President of the United States, George Bush, works with people like Mr. Gomez Rodriguez, who killed Che Guevara, who works with the death squads set up by the World Anti-Communist League, who works with teams headed by Ryosha Sasakawa, who comes around by being honored by Mrs. Martin Luther King, it's very important to realize the kind of cruel people there are running the show and how they never get attached or scolded for the crimes they've committed. And by studying their crimes as much as you can, you get a better idea of who is doing all of this killing and what they have in mind. And I suppose the King Alfred plan is an ultimate goal or design that's been visible to me as years went on, that we were moving in that direction and not in the direction that Martin Luther King wanted. Now, at the time that the book came out, The Man Who Cried I Am came out, there was a long interview with John Williams in one of the newspapers, and it was October 3rd, 1976, and he had a lot to say about the black man, and it's very sad how he can put this information into a novel, because if it weren't a novel, nobody would read it or get their hands on it. Incidentally, look for it in the library, and in the very back part of the book is where the King Alfred plan is, and you can copy it, and except for just a couple words, it's identical to the copy of the plan that I had. John Williams was saying in 1967 how hard it is to be a novelist, how hard it is to be a black writer, that the way the society is structured, the black writers are second-rate writers, they push them aside, and that he has been trying to get black authors, you know, to become published. And he literally says they're blacklisted and blackballed, and the FBI memo said keep what Martin Luther King says from being published, and that was one way of people not finding out who is doing work or considering any of these serious problems. John Williams is a writer. He wrote The King God Didn't Save in 1970, going into the idea of the FBI blackmailed Martin Luther King into moderating his civil rights stand. And he wrote about J. Edgar Hoover and the civil rights and about Martin. He said the book critics attack him, Time Magazine, the very bad reviews of his book so that he can't get published. And in 1980, they used King's activities to turn people against him and to choke off the political movement. He said Williams feels he was vindicated after the disclosures of the Frank Church Committee in 1975 of the FBI and the CIA spying on protest groups in the 60s. And then fabricating stories, and that he felt vindicated. And the story about Martin Luther King is the deep, deep, high-level intent to stop all black political activists and discredit them and not give them the rights that they should be enjoying in this country, which is their country. He was interviewed about the King Alfred plan and the church committee, and he said that he felt that Senator Church did a good job. He said the church people called me about his book. You know, this book came out in 1967, and the church committee was going on a few years later, and they wanted to know the name of the FBI agent in the book because he hadn't named him the agent. They wanted to know if he had the name, and he said, I played some tapes for them and gave them the name. They already had his name from another source. And then he said, I don't think the church committee did a good job. They couldn't understand why Hoover was so vindictive towards King, that the role of J. Edgar Hoover. And, of course, the connections to Europe are through Interpol, and J. Edgar Hoover's working with Hitler's police system and being very pro-German and pro-Nazi and handling the American labor movement like the CIA started doing after 1947 to break it up and discredit the people and any people's movement of civil rights and so forth. This interview of Williams continues. The book sent waves through literary and political circles in 1967 because many people thought that the King Alfred plan was plausible. Consider the setting of the period. Stokely Carmichael had a call for black power for hardening the schism between racial separatists and integrationists. In Detroit and Newark, there was civil strife, unemployment, and blacks were killed. And in the South, there was a battleground and confrontation between segregationists and him seeing nonviolent blacks such as Martin Luther King. And when he wrote the book, looking back over the years, it's easier for him to see a certain perspective, but there was so much anger that the plan of genocide was really easy to do. And what I think is important is that the anger is still there and the frustration is still there, and that the King Alfred plan could, in fact, just be operational, ready to be taken into effect, and some of it could be used down in Central America as a test case by certain persons and mercenaries to use to round up at the time they want to round up if there is a crisis. The government and the Defense Department can move within 8 to 10 hours, and take away anybody they want, and they've already checked out the laws and the ways to do it, and the people they have in power, the NSC, are capable of doing that. Well, this isn't a very pleasant subject. This is the anniversary of the birthday of Martin Luther King. These are matters we should address ourselves to, not his dream, but our nightmare, and what went wrong, and how did it go wrong, and how did they trip him up, and what are they going to do for all the other blacks? These are the issues now, and they keep escalating, and the indifference is equal to the escalation in terms if you could measure it, but that's not our problem. We have to stay alert to these things, and time moves on, and the National Security Council is truly, for all purposes, genocidal, and just what John Williams describes it to be. This is Mae Brussel, and next week we'll get back to Contragate and Irangate, and as I said before at the beginning of the program, this matter of NSC and the Third World is not separated from those problems at all. In the meanwhile, keep well, and thank you for the books and letters with articles that you've enclosed that I can read and share with you in the future. And we'll be back together just one more week from now, and we'll continue on some of these nightmarish stories.